This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Don't you worry about a thing, Cardiff City fans. It is the Cardiff City Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with you through to midnight tonight. Plenty coming up over the course of the next few hours or so. Deadline day, of course. Is anything going to happen for Cardiff City? They're currently playing, so you'd imagine, unless there's all sorts of action going on behind the scenes, it will be very unlikely that we'll have any more incomings over the course of the next 2 hours. But who knows? Who knows? Someone might come through those Cardiff City Stadium doors. Right now, there are a host of fans inside the stadium watching Cardiff losing at home to Reading. It is the second meeting of three over the course of 10 days for Cardiff and Reading, of course, drawing in the FA Cup fourth round last weekend. The replay will be on Wednesday, but in the Championship, it is currently Cardiff City 0, Reading 1. Yakou Mate, the same scorer, of course, who scored last weekend. On the line now, we have Ben James from A View from the Ninian. Hello, Ben.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, good, thank you, buddy. Sorry to drag you away from the game. We're about an hour in at the Cardiff City Stadium, and it's not going too well for the boys.
No, it isn't. It's probably a welcome distraction, to be honest. I think we're kind of toiling away, but we're not really making the breakthrough, as is so often the case under Neil Harris. I think, we started slowly, went 1-0 down within the first sort of 10 minutes, and we can't seem to claw ourselves back into the game. So, you're a welcome distraction at this time, to be honest.
Well, we will give you updates as and when that game is going on. Currently, Cardiff 0, Reading 1. Like I said, that is the second meeting of three over 10 days in a recent period. A quite bizarre scenario. It's amazing how these things work out, isn't it, in football. Last weekend, the day after we spoke, Ben, 1-1 in the FA Cup. A fair result on reflection?
I'd say no. I think we deserve to win that one, really. I think Reading had maybe one or two chances in the game. The one they scored, which probably should have been ruled out for offside, and then one that was disallowed that probably should have been given for not being offside. And then we couldn't capitalise. And I think it culminated with Sol Bamba missing an open goal. And I think we played quite well. I think drawing 1-1 was probably, if it had been a league game, you would have taken it, because obviously it's the FA Cup, you get the replay and everything else. But I think we saw players like Will Volks coming back into the team, and that gave us a bit of kind of optimism for what's coming up. And I think if we'd won that, things would be looking a bit rosier. But, tonight we're in that second leg of three, and it's 1-0 down, and we're not looking too good. So it's a bit of a weird situation.
Can we talk about that Sol Bamba miss? I just kind of want to get it and then swiftly usher it out of the room.
Yeah, but can we?
A lovely centre-back link up there. Aidan Flint with a delightful overhead kick right into the path of Bamba. He could have even taken a touch, to be fair. Charlie Adam, I think, was the closest player, so he probably could have had two or three touches before Adam got to him.
Exactly, yeah.
But he decided to head it, and head it past the post, quite incredibly so.
Yeah, I mean, I think I didn't really appreciate how much time he had when it happened in real time, because you thought it was very instinctive. You thought he obviously went with his head because he didn't think he had any other option. But you're right, he could have taken two or three touches, and I think Charlie Adam is slower than a freight train these days. And I think it was just bizarre, because I think everyone was celebrating before we'd realised it had gone past the post, because it just seemed that it was easier to score than miss. So I know he's not really known for his prowess in front of goal, but I think anyone would have put that away, really, and it kind of just summed up the day, really.
Yeah, it did indeed. There is a replay on Wednesday, currently playing in the Championship, but let's try and be a little bit more positive. For a few days later, a fantastic win at home to West Brom. West Brom on a terrible run of form at the moment in the Championship. Let's not beat around the bush. Doing well in the FA Cup, that seems to be where they're getting their success at the moment, but in the Championship, they are not playing well. Cardiff City with a massive massive win on Tuesday. Callum Patterson and Lee Tomlin. I'm going to talk about Callum Patterson first because we discussed him last week in the show and thought that potentially, despite Neil Harris looking for a striker, Kiefer Moore, of course, was mooted.
Yeah.
That didn't end up working out. And we suggested, you know, Callum Patterson could well be the man. He's come into the team. He's been on the back foot a bit because of injuries and whatnot in pre-season. That's 2-2 for him now.
Yeah, it is. And I think he was really good against Reading last Saturday. I think he played just behind Glatzel. And I think that really helped Glatzel out because it took the pressure off Glatzel being the target man. It meant Patterson could win the headers and be the link man to Glatzel. And obviously he kept his place on Tuesday. And I think what you see is what you get with Callum Patterson. I think he's exactly the kind of football that most fans want. You know, he'll put his head where it hurts. He runs around a lot and gets stuck in. But also he's got a bit of quality in front of goal. And I think it was quite an instinctive striker's reaction, which is quite odd to say about a former right back. But he was in the right place in front of the goal, and he reacted quickly to the save from Morrison's shot and put it away. And I think he started up front tonight, and it seems like he's putting himself about again, but he's not really had the chances in front of goal just yet. But I think, you know, you say we were looking at Kiefer Moore, but would you pay £2.5 million for Kiefer Moore when you've already got Callum Patterson? I don't think I would. So hopefully he just gets more time up there.
I completely agree with you, to be honest. It's not like he's been prolific, Kiefer Moore, this season. You might say in a better team, maybe he might produce more. But if you're going to be paying a lot of money, you want guaranteed goals. And you don't get that with Kiefer Moore.
No, you don't. You get, you know, I think his third goal of the season was scored in the last couple of weeks for Wigan. And I think he was quite prolific in League One, as I understand it, over the last season. But he just hasn't really cut it at the championship level just yet. And I think, you know, £2.5 million is quite a lot of money in any kind of scenario. And I think, like you say, if you're spending that amount of money on someone, you just need someone who's going to guarantee you 5 to 10 goals over the second half of the season. I don't think we get that with Kiefer Moore. And what will we get that with Callum Patterson? Who knows? But I'd rather take the risk on Patterson than sign anyone else, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And with regards to signing players, Ben, Brad Smith has come in from Bournemouth, of course. He's come in on loan for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, I mean, what do you know about him? Because I know little to nothing.
Well, it's weird. He'd been at Seattle Sounders, hadn't he, in MLS?
Yeah.
And it's one of those players that, kind of, he'd been involved in the Premier League. He's, you know, he plays at the back. He's okay. He's one of those players I think that you can't pass judgment on unless you've seen him week in, week out, which is what Bournemouth fans would have. Well, not even week in, week out, you see. The best people to speak to would be those of Seattle Sounders. We've missed a trick not getting a Seattle Sounders fan on the show today, but it is one of those, isn't it? And this is the problem a lot of the time in the January transfer window, is that all these names are linked with teams and they get brought in and suddenly everybody's cock-a-hoop and really excited. Speak to Manchester United fans about Bruno Fernandes. They're buzzing about him. It's like, how many of you have actually seen him play? All you're seeing is statistics on a piece of paper. You don't actually know how good Bruno Fernandes is. Brad Smith, we don't know how good Brad Smith is going to be for Cardiff City. All we know is that he was at a Premier League club, which you'd like to think means he comes from good pedigree.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I think the important thing with someone like Brad Smith coming in is that it gives a bit of competition for Joe Bennett, because I think Joe Bennett is a great left back. He was brilliant during our promotion season. He performed very well at the Premier League level last year, but his performance this season has dropped off. And I think that's because there's no one behind him pushing him on. You know, if he has a bad game, who's Joe Bennett being dropped for at this stage? So there was no one really up until Jazz Richards came back from his injury. So I think even if Brad Smith doesn't play that many games, but does get something better out of Joe Bennett by breathing down his neck and being that competition, then he, you know, as a loan signing, you can't say fairer than that, really. And I think, well, you know, there's YouTube compilations and there's all that kind of stuff about what he did at Seattle. And obviously he was part of a championship winning team there. So he's obviously got something about him. So I hope that he's not in the squad tonight, but hopefully over the next couple of games, we get to see him and just see what he's about. Because if he's a good performer, then why not sign him at the end of the season and keep him on full time?
Yeah, I agree. Another player, Ben, that's been linked with the club today, and we heard earlier on in the day that it looked like it was going to be over the line. Nothing yet has come through. Albi Adoma, Uncle Albert, as many of his former clubs have referred to him as. He's gone through the leagues in England, hasn't he? Garnet International, of course, but started out at Harrow Borough and has made his way pretty much all the way through English football. And I was reading something earlier about the fact that Forrest are happy that he's going to go. He's going to go with their blessing. But this is a guy who's a big character in the dressing room, so not only good on the pitch, good off the pitch too.
Yeah, and I think at this stage of the season, things are a bit flat at Cardiff. I think we talked about it last week that, you know, getting someone in will just kind of be that G'ing up and that excitement that we need. And I think if Adoma comes in and he's good on the pitch, I think he's very quick. I think he had a season at Villa, maybe last season, the season before, where he managed to get sort of 10, 15 goals. And if he can replicate that, then he could be a brilliant signing. But even as you say, if he comes in, brings a bit of character to the dressing room and gets the boys performing, you know, is someone who's on the sidelines, geeing them up and getting the players playing, then that could be a big kind of bonus going into the last sort of 3 to 6 months of the season. And I think, yeah, I don't really know where that's come from, really, Albert Adome. We haven't been linked with him before, but I'm not really against it, if that makes sense. I think he could be a very good signing, and he could be, you know, we've struggled with our wingers this year. I think both Hoylett and Murphy are having bad seasons. I think Mendes Lang's out for the season, and we've only really got Gavin White there who can then cover. So I think it's important to get someone in who can offer something different on the wings, and he could be that man. I don't really know what's going to happen with that one. I think it was pretty much certain and nailed on earlier today, but it seems to have gone quiet this evening. Maybe that's because, you know, we are playing Reading at the moment.
Yeah, there is a game currently going on, which adds to the complete debacle nature of the January transfer window, to be fair, especially deadline day in particular, that you've got a game going on and there's still potentially deals going on behind the scenes. Surely, if you really wanted Albert Adoma that much, you would have got it sorted earlier. But who am I to judge? I'm not involved behind the scenes in football. Currently 5 points adrift of those playoff spots as well, Ben. It is Reading today, then it's Luton next weekend. Big game, that one, of course. Luton still vying, hoping that they might somehow do a miracle and escape from the Championship. Are you looking beyond Tuesday in the FA Cup?
I think, you know, depends what happens tonight. I think the focus shifts, right? If we get a good win tonight, then we can look to Luton next Saturday and go, well, if we get another win there, then all of a sudden that 5-point gap is clawed back. And I think, the FA Cup replay at this stage kind of feels like a slight distraction. I think it would have been good to dispatch Reading last week and then carry on with the fifth round. But no, I think the way we are in the league and the fact that the league is so tight, those league games and those, you know, 3 points here, 3 points there are becoming the focus. And I think we have to look at Luton as the next game we can win. I think, you know, if we beat Reading on Tuesday, that's really nice. And we go into the fifth round where I can't remember who we've drawn, but it could be quite a nice draw in the fifth round. And then I think it's Sheffield United, actually. And then if
Sheffield United at home, yeah, if you go through.
Yeah, you know, that could be a nice tie against Sheffield United. We've played them over the years a few times. We had a bit of rivalry with them. But I think, you know, going to Luton next week, you know, they are in the bottom three. They're struggling. And I think if we get 3 points there and other teams around us don't get the win or they drop points, then all of a sudden the playoffs are in even closer reach. So for me, it's all about the league games at the moment. So I think this, you know, they come thick and fast at this stage in the season, and 5 points in mid-table isn't a big gap at the moment, is it?
It is not at all. That was Ben James there from A View from the Ninian podcast. Great to hear from Cardiff City fans here on the Cardiff City Fan Show. Currently trailing at home to Reading 1-0 at the moment. Yaku Mate with that goal. But we're going to end this first half with a stat, because that could maybe be the catalyst or the impetus for us to get that energy across to the Cardiff City Stadium. And that is that since Neil Harris's first league match in charge in November of the Bluebirds, no Championship side has actually lost fewer games than Cardiff. I know we talk about draws, but try telling that to the Invincibles team of 2004. It's the Cardiff City Fan Show here on Love Sport. Plenty more coming up.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
The Cardiff City Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with you through to midnight tonight. We're going to be bringing you all the latest deals, all the latest action from deadline day, should anything happen over the course of the next few hours or so. Just a quick update in the Championship as things stand. It is currently Cardiff City 1, Reading 1. Callum Patterson, the man that we were just speaking about with Ben James from A View from the Ninian podcast. That is 3-3 for him now. So the Bluebirds equalising against Reading. Yaku Mate opening the scoring inside 10 minutes, but Callum Patterson with the equaliser on 70. So it is as it was at the weekend. Elsewhere in the Championship, Derby currently beating Stoke 3-0. Goals from Martin Waghorn, Chris Martin, and a very Wayne Rooney-esque free kick to whack in the third. Brilliant free kick it was too. But on the line now, we have Scott Salter from A View from the Ninian. Hello, Scott.
How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Great time to have you on the line. Callum Patterson with an equaliser.
Yeah, certainly changes my mood and what I would be saying if we were 1-0 down, for sure.
Nice. How important is this game for you, Scott?
It's really important, yeah. You know, we're in the new year. We're you know, going into February now. The transfer window's, you know, shut or about to shut. And, you know, we're getting towards the business end. If Cardiff have serious aspirations about getting into the playoffs, they need to start winning games. And you know, you look at the next seven games, including this one, and there's a lot of winnable games there. And I think you've got to get a win here to build on that West Brom win, which was a great win, by the way, and you know, really set the foot and go forward for the next few games.
Now, I've got to tell you, a bit of breaking news from the game, Scott, is that a supporter has apparently been ejected during the game. That this is a story that's coming out now. A fan has been ejected from the Reading end of the Cardiff City Stadium during the game this evening. Escorted from his seat by stewards after Cardiff fans complained he made an allegedly offensive gesture during the first half. Now, we're seeing this in football now, aren't we? We're seeing it, of course, in the game involving Millwall and Reading. We saw it in the game between Cardiff and Reading last week. Now, it's quite an interesting topic this, Scott, and I just want to touch base with you on this, because Cardiff came out, didn't they, and demanded an apology for this, said that there was no evidence that this was found. They've demanded an apology from Reading after the fan arrest. Before I come to you, Scott, we actually spoke to Jeff Burnage, who is an ex-chairman of Millwall, and after the alleged accusations to them, Millwall demanded an apology as well, put out a statement, and here is what Jeff had to say.
We're such an easy target, Matt, aren't we? We're such an easy target, and when it involves Millwall, certain people in the media just rub their hands.
That's right, the damage has been done.
They know they can
it?
Get stuck into us and no one's going to criticise them. I'm still chair and have been chair for a while of Millwall for All, which tries to fight all forms of discrimination. I'd like to remind people that when John Fashanu's daughter wanted to make a documentary about what happened to her, her uncle, Justin, the first openly gay footballer who sadly committed suicide, probably partly at least because of the way he was perceived in those days, in those dark days, no football club would cooperate with her except one, and that was us. And we had them down the training ground. Four or five of our players were on camera saying that there would be no problem in the dressing room if somebody actually decided to come out. We never got any credit for what we do positively, but they like to get stuck in as soon as they possibly can. I'm really pleased this investigation has failed to turn up a single trace of evidence. And as for chanting, if there was chanting, you definitely would have evidence of that. So well done, Millwall. This statement hits it right on the head, that nail right on the head for me.
That was Jeff Burnage there, Millwall, ex-Millwall chairman, now regularly on the Millwall fan show here on Love Sport. Now, Scott, I know some people might be wondering, why are you playing Millwall content on the Cardiff City fan show? But I wanted to kind of put this to you and almost ask you whether that resonates, because he did say off air, in fact, he said, Cardiff City are the same. He said, exactly the same happens to them. They get tarred with a brush. When these allegations come out, the media are very quick to jump on it straight away. And I know that Cardiff batted back those accusations and have demanded an apology. Do you understand what Jeff is saying there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, in many ways, Millwall and Cardiff are similar clubs, you know, working class clubs that quite often are you know, looked down on maybe by others. And like you said, they are an easy target. And you know, there's two things from a Cardiff point of view. First of all, I wasn't at the game, but when I saw it on Twitter, I was shocked and found it unbelievable, and I know many others did, because you know, I've been a Cardiff fan 20 years since I was little, and I know many others have. I've never seen or heard any racist or homophobic chanting or anything similar, and a lot of Cardiff fans have been speaking about this, and the only one instance people can think of a small minority doing that. Cardiff fans self-policed it themselves, shall we say. That group of fans got a bit of a hiding from Cardiff fans, because, you know, as fans, we don't stand for that. Cardiff's a very multicultural city. You know, we've got a huge ethnicities and communities, a big Somalian community and stuff like that. So as a club, we're diverse. We're welcoming a lot of fans, of different ethnicities. So first of all, I think it was a shock to see those, because that's not the Cardiff that any of us know. So none of us were surprised when there was no evidence found. And the second thing I think is that it's a really, really dangerous game that Reading are playing. You know, two incidents there of false allegations being made against two different clubs that have been proven of no evidence. And it's a really dangerous game because, you know, when this thing does happen, it's a really serious, really serious thing. So I think it's a dangerous game. And I'm not really sure the process, because from what I've been reading, they actually broke protocol. The only people that can order a stadium announcement for these things is either the referee or the police. Now, the police have come out and said that they didn't order anything, and the referee clearly didn't. So, you know, Reading have broken league protocol there, and, you know, there should be some investigation, I think, into what they're up to there.
I agree with you. And I think it's often these situations are difficult to discuss, aren't they? Because people go, oh, right, so you're just going to throw it out the window. There's been allegations of racism and homophobia, but it's right to argue it if you feel that it's an unfair accusation, isn't it? It's right that Cardiff have come out and demanded an apology. And, you know, often these media outlets don't apologise and they can just say what they want willy-nilly. And like you say, Cardiff and Millwall are easy targets, and just, there you go, Bosh, oh, there it is, those young kids from Cardiff again. And I think they were young kids, weren't they? And the people that got arrested were, I think there were a couple in their teens, and then it was early 20s. So instantly people just tar the brush. But it's important to set the record straight.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Cardiff came out and made a really strong statement, and like Millwall did too. And I think they should both be proud of that. And, you know, I know as fans, we were really proud to see the club standing up for their fans when so many were, you know, were tarnishing the reputation falsely. You know, even our local media, you know, wrote some sensationalist articles about, you know, Cardiff fans in racist storm. And that wasn't the case. Even at that point when they published that, there was, you know, plenty of evidence suggesting that these were false allegations, or that there was, you know, insufficient evidence to back that up. You know, even what was essentially reported was not racist or homophobic. If they were going to class anything, it would be xenophobic. So it's a really dangerous game. And I think both clubs, Millwall and Cardiff, have done themselves proud and their fans proud in standing up to this.
Yep, indeed. Good words, Scott. Just to let you know that Derby have taken a 4-0 lead now against Stoke. Jaden Bogle with the goal. Moving on to another Bogle. Omar, of course, has joined Eredivisie side Ado Den Haag. He's joined up with Alan Pardew. Played 12 times for Cardiff this season. Just the one goal. A move that I guess many might have expected. Perhaps not to Ado Den Haag, but a move that people would have expected eventually for Bogle moving on.
Yeah, I mean, if you told me at the start of the month that Omar Bogle will be going to play in Holland to be managed by Alan Pardew, I don't think I would have believed you. But yeah, you know, I think it's probably right for Bogle, it's right for the club. I don't dislike Omar Bogle as a player. I think he's, you know, shown glimpses of what he can do. He's very harshly treated, I think, in that that promotion season when he got sent off against Bristol City. He was on a good run, was scoring a couple of goals, and it was a stupid red card for Neil Warnock, seemed to seclude him then from the squad, which, you know, I think Warnock had a bit of a track record to do, and he did that a bit with Will Vokes at the start of the season when against that that awful performance against Reading. So, you know, it's a right move for Vogel, I think. Hopefully he can go out there and score some goals, and, you know, he's not getting games, and that's what you need as a footballer.
Okay, Scott, well, we've got roughly an hour and a half left of the window. We don't know whether Uncle Alb is going to have joined after this game finishes today, but if he does, if he doesn't, are you happy with the window? Do you feel like Neil Harris could have potentially done more?
No, I wouldn't say I was happy. No, I think it's been a pretty poor window for Cardiff. I think it's hard to blame Neil Harris for that, because obviously he's fairly new to the club, and we don't know what he's been told he's got to spend or anything, and it is a bloated squad. But, you know, anyone saying that this squad is good enough, or that there aren't gaps, you know, are kidding themselves. And I think that there needed to be some reinforcement, even if it's just some loan signings. And, you know, you see some of our championship rivals making really good loan signings. There needs to be a question, I think, asked of the club of what actually the long-term planning and strategy is, because, you know, if we do end up signing Albert Adoma or Lee Gregory, Jordan Rhodes, whoever it may be, they were decent championship players 5 years ago. This isn't a forward-thinking club that Cardiff fans want, that the board have talked about when Warnock left, you know, about changing, about, you know, Harris Engineering coming in, about using more analytics and stats, about recruiting players to be smart about the players that are bringing in. And, you know, these are championship journeymen that are coming to the end of their career. This isn't a forward-thinking club that's going to take a next step forward. And that's worrying to me. I think, you know, the appointment of Neil Harris said a bit about that. I think that he was probably a cheap option and, you know, Warnock 2.0 in many ways, not forward thinking. And I think the club needs to come out and be clear about what their plan is in the transfer market and long term, because none of us have really got a clue. You know, the head of recruitment left, the chief scout left, our under 23 managers left, and you know, we haven't got people in to replace those yet. So no one really knows what's going on, but beyond, you know, some fairly mediocre performances on the pitch.
Indeed. Scott Salter, thank you very much for joining us. Scott there from A View from the Ninian podcast. We've got about 5 minutes to go at the Cardiff City Stadium. Callum Patterson ruling out Yaku Mate's opener for Reading. As things stand, it is 1-1. We'll give you all the updates on whether Uncle Alb, Albert Adoma, signs on loan from Nottingham Forest before the deadline day is done and dusted. We've got the deadline day fan show. Well, not fan show. Deadline day show, I should say, from 11 p.m. through to midnight this evening. Don't miss that if you want to hear all the action, all the reaction from whether any more deals get over the line between now and 11 p.m. Next up, it's Sheffield Wednesday.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.